pregnancy that doesn't survive past the 24th week is considered a miscarriage. Clinically speaking, 15% to 20% of pregnancies result in spontaneous pregnancy loss. So to understand the meaning, what it means to the individual, but those terms, miscarriage, pregnancy loss, to help us understand better something that actually is perhaps more common than you realise for women, but maybe not being talked about as much as it could be to help others. So here to help us is Dr. Shazia Magre, who's specialist in obstetrics and gynaecology at Bourne Hall Fertility Centre. Welcome to the show, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you here today joining us. So on this area, which is obviously your area of expertise, how common is it, what we call a miscarriage?
Well, miscarriage is a really common entity. It is seen in 10 to 15% of the couples who are trying to conceive. But yes, the incidence of miscarriage increases as the maternal age, as the female's age increases. Like for a female who's less than 35 years of age, the incidence of miscarriage is around 15 to 20%. But as she crosses the age of 40, it goes as high as 50%, one in two.
I was looking at news articles on this, and Chef Gordon Ramsay spoken out earlier this month, well, in fact, just this week, in the UK media, reflecting in an intimate interview. The support we've had has been unbelievable. You don't realise until it happens to you how many people are affected. Sadly, it happens every day. He goes on to say about his wife. She's 42 years of age, expecting their fifth child, and talking on the Late Late Show in the US, telling good friend and host James Corden, "We have three girls and a boy and one more on the way." However, 5 months into the pregnancy, his wife was taken into the Portland Hospital in London, where they were left grief-stricken upon discovering they had lost the child. 42, is that considered, I know it is considered to be what they call a more mature or older woman for pregnancy.
Yes, but hearing the history, I mean, you said that 5 months, she had already passed 5 months. So I don't think it is age-related, this kind of miscarriage. There are other causes to it, which are mostly anatomical, like some abnormalities in the uterine cavity or in the neck of the womb, which is called cervical incompetence, or related to the baby itself. But cannot be age related, because if it's age related, it would usually happen in the first 3 months of pregnancy.
So explain that a little bit more for us, Doctor. So to understand the term miscarriage, to define that, and when we hear pregnancy loss.
Any miscarriage that happens in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy is called the first trimester miscarriage or early miscarriage. Any miscarriage that happens after 12 weeks but less than 24 weeks, which is the age of viability, is called late miscarriage or second trimester miscarriages.
And so when we're hearing how common it can be, it doesn't mean necessarily that people don't feel the loss anyway. So if it's a miscarriage in the early first trimester, women can still feel that, even though it's considered to be an embryo or a fetus. It still feels you've got the anticipation, you're going through the excitement of becoming a mom, a dad, and then this happens to them. And so one can still feel that loss, like a loss of a child almost.
Yes, certainly. Because as you said, she is anticipating. She's anticipating a normal, healthy pregnancy and looking forward to a normal, healthy baby. So any loss, any time, at any stage of pregnancy is certainly a pregnancy loss.
So what's your thoughts on this? Have you experienced something similar, or a loved one or a friend or a colleague? Is it something that's talked about? I mean, it's a difficult subject. It's a difficult thing for somebody to go through. Let us know your thoughts. And we are going to be hearing from women today who have gone through a miscarriage, actually multiple miscarriages, and gone on to have children. So understanding why it might happen, how it might happen, and what do you have to go through afterwards, recovery and also maybe treatment as well. Talking about miscarriages, pregnancy loss in the first hour today, and I've got here Dr. Shazia Magre, who's specialist in obstetrics and gynaecology at Bourne Hall Fertility Centre, and looking at the information surrounding miscarriage. miscarriage, and 85% of miscarriages happen in the first 12 weeks and are known as early miscarriages. This is according to Tommy's, which is the UK's largest early miscarriage research centre. Now, we've put a whole host of information from Tommy's up on our health page today. So go to dubaieye1038.com/Dubai Today. Click on our health page if you want to find out more on this. Now, Linda Berenger, Dubai Today producer, was talking to Jackie Pearson, a mum of two who's experienced two miscarriages. Her first pregnancy was fine and she had her little boy, who's now six. The second and third were miscarriages, and the fourth was fine with her daughter, who's now three. So listen now to Linda in conversation with Jackie to find out what her experience was.
Because I was an older mum, I wanted to try and get pregnant reasonably quickly after I had my first child. So it was about 8 months after that I had my first miscarriage. And then probably about 6 months later, we had six to eight months later, I had my second miscarriage. They were both before 12 weeks, so we were probably about between the 8 and 10 week stage. So I was lucky. It was pretty early on. I hadn't started to show. The second time round, we hadn't told people. So in many regards, that was a good thing.
Is that what you do after you had a miscarriage, that you wait until you tell your friends and your family that you're pregnant again?
The first time we got pregnant, which was a successful pregnancy, we told very close friends and family before the 12-week mark, and then we told everybody else past the 12-week mark. The second time, which was a failed pregnancy, again, we told close friends and family before the 12-week mark, as I hadn't had any problems with my first pregnancy. So, yeah, but then we waited a little while so that I had chance to get my head together, chance to mourn the loss before we actually told more people about it.
Did you see the child?
No, it's tiny. I'm just trying to remember. You're talking about the size of a bean, if that, at this point in the pregnancies. And my heart goes out to people who are further down the line, because that must just be devastating. It's bad enough when it's early days, but no, you. You have bleeding, but yeah, it's not like a delivery. You know, it's very different to that.
When did you notice that it was a miscarriage? That something's wrong?
You have bleeding. You have cramps. Not always. I hear from people that different people have had different experiences. And at that point, I had gone to the doctor, and they checked, and they couldn't find a heartbeat. And so that's where we knew that the pregnancy was not, it hadn't taken, there'd been a problem with the embryo, and it takes a while for you to actually miscarry. Normally you know that there's a problem before that. In my case, I had DNCs both times, and that for me was less traumatic, because you go to sleep and you wake up and you're in good hands, and I was very lucky on both cases to have good medical support, to have a husband who was amazing and patient and gave me the time I needed, and good friends and family around me.
Now, you had a second child, so Mia has been your fourth pregnancy.
Yes.
Were you ever worried during that pregnancy that it could all happen again?
It happened early both times in the pregnancy when I had a miscarriage. So those initial weeks were very nerve-wracking. You worry and you don't know whether it's going to take. And yeah, your anxiety levels are high. And once we passed the 12-week point and we had a really good strong heartbeat and you could see growth, I started to relax a little bit. But I think you're always a bit nervous. For me, the thing that helped most was I had had one healthy pregnancy, our oldest child. So I was very fortunate when I had my miscarriages that I knew that I could have a healthy pregnancy. I already had one child, so if the worst came to the worst and I couldn't get pregnant another time, at least I'd already had a baby. I think women who have a miscarriage as their first pregnancy are really struggling sometimes to keep positive and to keep optimistic that they can have a miscarriage, especially if they have more than one before they're fortunate enough to get pregnant. So I always had that, which helped a little bit. And I think also when you have a busy toddler, they take you out of yourself a little bit, and that they keep you busy and distracted. And so I was fortunate with that.
Your best piece of advice for a mother who has just experienced a miscarriage? And also for a dad, obviously.
I think you just need to take time. You need to talk to your partner. You need to acknowledge what's happened. You need to look after yourself a little bit and give yourself a bit of downtime. And not to put too much pressure on yourself to immediately start trying to get pregnant again. Just to give your body time to recover. I think they say that once you've had one more period, you can start trying again. But your head is not always ready, even if your body is. And I think people forget how common it actually is to have a miscarriage. And having had one miscarriage is not an indicator that you are not going to be able to have a successful pregnancy. I think they say a lot of it is a fetus or an embryo that is not developing as it should, particularly if it's early. So it's a blessing in some ways at that point, because it means an embryo that's not developing as it should, your body has taken care of that and has known that there's something not right. And then it's so many people that I know that have had miscarriages then go on to have perfectly normal, very healthy pregnancies afterwards.
Jackie Pearson there sharing her experience of suffering two miscarriages, but she has her two healthy children now. So it really, really big thanks to Jackie for sharing her story, because it really helps others. And a lot of what I've been reading today has been about women saying that it's not talked about enough. Dr. Magre, what would you like to come back on? Some of the points that Jackie raised in her experience.
Well, the first thing, yes, as she said, it's a miscarriage is an emotional experience. And sadly, when these couples, we see them for a follow-up or when they visit us after a miscarriage, they do not talk about it. So as a clinician and as a doctor, I think it's our responsibility to ask them how they're coping with it emotionally, because yes, they need time. They need time and they need support of the doctor and also of their near and dear ones. And secondly, what they need is reassurance in the sense that, okay, if a miscarriage has happened once or twice or even three times, they stand a very good chance of having a normal, healthy pregnancy the next time.
And what would you advise in that time? You know, when would it be? Is there a good time to start trying again, or when you shouldn't be doing that?
To be very honest, there is no time frame. There's no time frame for it. But I tell all my patients, as soon as you feel emotionally and physically well enough to conceive again, you can do it.
She talked about it hadn't taken. For women who maybe suffer more than one miscarriage and have not had a successful pregnancy, what do you do? I mean, how long is it, or how many times is it before an investigation or more is done to figure out why this is happening over again?
Usually, whenever a woman has three or more losses in a row, that's the time when we dig in a little more and investigate to find out if there is a known cause for this recurrent pregnancy loss. But having said that, I should also tell you that 50% of the cases of recurrent pregnancy loss are unexplained and of unknown origin. I mean, something is going on there, but we are not able to find it or detect it.
Messages coming in on this. Somebody here asking about planning to get pregnant, but what do they need to consider when it comes to lifestyle, diet, etc., to be in the best condition to get pregnant and to minimise the risk of miscarriage. We'll address that and more when we come back. Talking about miscarriages, pregnancy loss today with Dr. Shazia Magre, who's specialist in obstetrics and gynaecology at Bournemouth Fertility Centre. Now, Dr. Shazia, when we're talking about this for women and for dads as well, dads-to-be, for the husbands, the partners, we've mentioned how this can be a psychological trauma as well as a physiological trauma as well. It does depend of the stages of which you are miscarrying to the extent of what treatment might need to happen, or in fact after that recovering from the experience. But yeah, and there are sometimes it's just totally unexplained. That's what you're saying. It's the body's way of taking care of itself.
Correct.
And rejecting what shouldn't be there. So it's to do with genetics, or it's to do with chromosomes. So even though the feeling of loss is still there emotionally from anticipating a baby that's coming, it's no longer there. What your body goes through as well, physically recovering from, because your body's in a state of pregnancy and then it's not. So that's something to consider as well. But what are some of the options for women if you have gone through three or more miscarriages? What happens then?
Any woman who has undergone three or more pregnancy losses, she needs to be thoroughly investigated, because there are some known factors that can lead to these recurrent pregnancy losses. The most common ones, as you yourself mentioned, are the chromosomal abnormalities. But these are random effects, events, like they just happen at the time of fertilization or in very early embryonic development. But in 2 to 5% of the cases, a future mom or a future dad has some abnormality in his or her chromosomes, especially in the arrangement of chromosomes, and these are called translocations. Now, as far as the future mother or father is concerned, these translocations are completely silent in them. They don't cause any effect in them, but there is a risk that they might get transmitted to the embryo and lead to miscarriage. So this is one of the causes. The another important cause of recurrent pregnancy loss is the anatomical abnormalities in the womb, which could be congenital. A woman can be born with it or acquired. Now, amongst the congenital causes, the most common is having a septum in the uterine cavity. Like we have a septum in our nose. A woman can be born with a septum in the womb, and she might not know about it unless and until she's evaluated for it. And amongst the acquired causes, we have the fibroids, not all the fibroids, only those fibroids which disturb the uterine cavity, then polyps and scarring within the uterine cavity. Another important factor that can lead to recurrent pregnancy loss is antiphospholipid antibody syndrome. Now, 10 to 15% of the couples who have recurrent miscarriages are screened positive for this condition. So if a woman is screened positive, she has more tendency to form clots. And these clots get deposited in the tiny blood vessels that supply the embryo and lead to miscarriage.
What about pre-implantation genetic screening, PGS?
Well, this is a very good question. Pre-implantation genetic screening is an option for those couples where a future mum or future dad has already been diagnosed with a chromosomal abnormality in themselves. But doing pre-implantation genetic diagnosis for a couple who has had recurrent miscarriages because of unknown cause or unexplained recurrent miscarriages, it's still not, you know, validated. We don't have a good evidence for it to offer them this. And couples should know about it.
People are sending their questions in. We'll get to those in a little while. But I spoke earlier with Jo Arganares, who is a prenatal yoga teacher and trainer in Dubai. She suffered two miscarriages and has gone on to have two children who are 3 years and 10 months old. I spoke with Jo earlier, and here's what she had to say on the topic and her experience.
5 and 6 years ago, I had two miscarriages, and the experience is, you know, very intense. And one thing that I noticed was that the subject is still really a taboo in, you know, almost globally. There's no real understanding of the issue, and there's this idea that one should not talk about the experience at all. And I find it quite isolating that women are expected to kind of keep the whole topic a secret. And my personal opinion is that, you know, really, this is not something which should have any kind of stigma attached to it. And I also really feel that there's some women feel responsible for experiencing a loss. And, you know, as a yoga teacher, my experience is that as soon as you share these topics, that really women are able to support each other. And that's a lot more helpful than this kind of veil of secrecy that people feel the need to only keep it in a very small circle of family and friends.
What stage were you at with your miscarriages?
So I was quite typical, and I lost my babies at 9 and 10 weeks, respectively. So I was in the kind of classic early miscarriage, which is, you know, the most common.
And when that happened to you the first time, how did you feel? Did you feel like you'd done something wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't really considered. Obviously, there is you are aware that something might happen, but the reality of it was quite a shock. And you know, the thing is, getting used to the idea happens quite quickly, and you know, you start making plans for the future, and then your life has to take a U-turn as you find out that things are not going to. You know, the baby isn't gonna happen, and it's really a shock.
And how was your husband? How did he take it?
You know, I think he found it hard to know what to do and how to respond, and really, yeah, he didn't really express himself very much. So I think it's as difficult for the men. But one of the things that happens in early pregnancy is the body completely changes in a very short space of time, and the impact of then suddenly losing the pregnancy after going through all the hormonal shifts is it's much more dramatic than you think, and even 9-10 weeks is quite a long time for your body to change, and then to completely go back, it actually takes quite a lot out of you physically as well as emotionally.
Were you working at the time? How did you handle that? Who did you tell in your circle? Was it just family and friends? Did you tell colleagues?
So I'm lucky to be in the position that I work in the field of yoga, and I'm a yoga teacher, so things are a lot more open in that kind of circle of life, and women are a lot more supportive, and there's an atmosphere of supporting each other, and I found that really helpful, and I did tell perhaps many more people than I would have done if I had been working in, let's say, an office, but I didn't feel comfortable with sharing the experience until I'd reached the stage where I'd had a second miscarriage, and then I started to write about it, and I wrote an article for a journal called Elephant Journal, which is a yoga and wellness website, and I found that when I actually started sharing the experience, that people really relate, were able to come back to me, and I found out that some of the people I knew, acquaintances and old friends, actually started sharing that they had also had the same experience. So when you do start sharing in a wider circle, people start to share, and you realise quite how many people have had the same experience, and it doesn't feel so isolating. But people still feel the need not to say anything in a wider circle. I mean, it's really a taboo, and I think it's got to the stage where I've definitely opened up to the point where other women are saying, you know, let's make a change here. You know, this is not something that you need to feel is any way something which you're responsible for. And even, you know, there's a level of ignorance about, for example, somebody asked me if I did anything. Because I'm a yoga teacher, obviously there are some of the movements we do, like headstands and that kind of thing, the inversion. I think some people actually think that you could cause a miscarriage through that kind of movement, which, you know, there's absolutely no evidence that anything other than a car accident or a trauma could cause a miscarriage, and certainly, zero evidence to prove that could happen.
So advice for women, mums-to-be, maybe those that are in that early stage of pregnancy, and some women do worry about it, what would you say?
So I would say go ahead and carry on with your carry on with your normal activity. Don't start anything new, but whatever you did before the pregnancy is absolutely fine. When it comes to the yoga practice, the only thing that really should be avoided is a closed twist, and your yoga teacher can guide you. And also starting to do things like prenatal yoga, it's also really recommended. Some studios will recommend that you take the first trimester off, but that really applies only to really strong practices like Ashtanga Vinyasa or Bikram yoga. Heating the body is generally not recommended, but ultimately most miscarriages unfortunately happen because of genetic and chromosomal abnormalities, so there's very little that you can do to actually stop something from happening. So I believe that the main thing is to really try to enjoy the experience without the fear factor, you know. And there are so many stories like my own where people have either two, three or more miscarriages and then go on to have even a large family. I know people with three children who've experienced miscarriage, even up to three miscarriages. So I think it's encouraging, if you have experienced miscarriage, to talk to someone with a family and just have that sense of, you know, things sometimes, you know, don't go that way. And there's often a doctor isn't able to pinpoint why. And you can do a whole range of testing, but you'll never discover why. So.
Jo, thank you very much for talking with us today and sharing your experience. I think you're right. It really helps to talk about it, bring it out into the open so people realise that they're not alone. So thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, you can find out more of what Jo does. She teaches prenatal yoga at Exhale JBR and the Yoga House in the Greens. We've posted up her details on our blog post today at dubaii1038.com/Dubai Today. And you can also click onto our Facebook page as well. She's got her company, Return to the Self, and her first UAE prenatal yoga teacher training starts on Sunday in Abu Dhabi. Talking about miscarriages today on Eye on Health with Dr. Shazia Magray. Now, Dr. Shazia, let's go to the text messages, and just one here asking about becoming pregnant. Can a lymphoma cancer survivor have a baby become pregnant?
Well, usually for lymphoma therapy we use chemotherapy, so chemotherapy does have a toxic effect on the oocytes, which are the future eggs. So I really need to know how many sessions, and you know, and we need to do an ovarian reserve on her and see whether she is in the optimal range or in a critically lower range, and then I can
take
actually
it from
say
there.
Yeah.
But it is possible.
It
depending.
Is possible, yes, yeah. It is possible.
And then Mariam texting in earlier, 36 years of age, married and wants to have children. What would you do? What should she be considering when it comes to her lifestyle, diet, nutrition, keeping herself in good condition to fall pregnant and minimize the risk of miscarriage?
Lifestyle has a very important impact. Excessive alcohol, smoking, caffeine, obesity and increased level of stress all have negative impact as far as reproductive health is concerned. So avoidance of smoking, alcohol, caffeine, excessive caffeine, exercising daily, eating a healthy diet, reducing the amount of stress from your life, having adequate sleep do have a positive impact, definitely. Then she needs to be on preconceptional folic acid, which is very, very important. And many couples don't realize it. It is a proven fact all over the world that if a woman takes folic acid 3 months prior to her pregnancy, it decreases spinal abnormalities in the growing baby.
And can anyone take folic acid? Do you need to be, are there any side effects possibly? Does it combine well if you're on a different supplement, or is it generally
It is generally okay, but then there are individuals where we have to give them not like the standard dose is 400 mcg, but in some individuals like who are diabetic or who have a who are on anti-epileptic drugs, we need to give them a higher dose, and who are obese, we need to give them a dose of 5 mg rather than 400 mcg.
So talk to your doctor about it, and but it is something definitely to consider. At the moment on OSN, you've got EastEnders running. It's a UK soap opera on the channel there, the BBC channel on OSN. And actually just last week, we're running a storyline with one of their, well, the couple, Whitney and Lee. Whitney went through a miscarriage. And it was looking at the Huffington Post coming out of the UK and the response from the public to the storyline. Audiences saw the character Whitney's first reaction, which was denial, and then the subsequent actions of her family, who sought advice from the doctor. It was from then on, according to the Huffington Post, that the irritation set in. So one person, from my own experience and many others I've spoken to, you certainly do not walk into your local hospital where there is a consultant ready and waiting to give you a scan immediately. This is giving women the wrong idea and the notion that everything is dealt with at speed. What would you say to that here in the UAE? So if somebody, in this case the character, was feeling cramps or there's spotting of blood, what do you do, and what could you expect to happen if you take yourself to a clinic or to hospital?
Oh, well, the first thing is to confirm the pregnancy. That is done by a simple blood test. And then examination, if she's having crampy pains and she's having bleeding, we need to examine and look for any signs which can indicate that she's aborting or is undergoing a miscarriage. And then the third thing would be to do a scan and to see whether products are there or, you know, because crampy pains and bleeding can also be associated with a normal healthy pregnancy. So yes, we need to scan her and see whether the baby's heartbeat is there or it's not there.
But it's not what they're suggesting is that people are going to respond quickly and you're going to maybe have a scan. Is that the case here in the UAE?
Well, we do have a bedside scan if we go to a casualty of any hospital. Yes, we examine the patient, and the second thing would be a scan.
And this story to share with you, Doctor, UK's miscarriage record holder who now has a baby. Annette Quinlan last had the baby she always wanted. It took 14 years and there were 19 miscarriages along the way. But successful now. She conceived after doctors in Liverpool gave Annette, now 43, steroid treatment to dampen down natural killer cells that were thought to be involved in her miscarriages. Now, there's controversy around this treatment, and stay tuned, because in the second hour we talk about it as well as we return to the topic of fertility. But did you want to comment on this, Doctor?
Yes, it is a controversial topic. Many studies have dismissed natural killer cells as being a cause of rejection of the embryos and causing miscarriage. But since in this case the steroid therapy has helped her, so yes, it can be one of the causes, because you know every patient is different.
Doctor, thank you very much for your time today. And I just wanted to highlight this article from the Huffington Post. We've posted up on our health page today an essay for the Human Development Project. Actress, she writes this powerful essay to other women who've miscarried and says, "You are not broken. You did nothing wrong. You are not broken. You did nothing wrong. You are strong. You are brave. And there is hope." And so, if there's something concerning you or it's something you've experience, check out the essay for the Human Development Project. It's up there on our health page at dubaieye1038.com/dubai today. For now, thank you very much for your time, Dr. Shazia Magre. We've also posted your details at the Bourne Hall Fertility Centre. Thank you very much.